This is Audible.
Listening Library presents Fangirl by Rainbow Rowell. Read for you by Rebecca Lohman with Maxwell Caulfield. Fall Semester, 2011.
The Simon Snow Series. From Encyclowikia, The People's Encyclopedia. This article is about the children's book series. For other uses, see Simon Snow, Disambiguation. Simon Snow is a series of seven fantasy books written by English philologist Gemma T. Leslie. The books tell the story of Simon Snow, an 11-year-old orphan from Lancashire, who is recruited to attend the Watford School of Magics to become a magician. As he grows older, Simon joins a group of magicians, the mages, who are fighting the insidious Humdrum, an evil being trying to rid the world of magic. Since the publication of Simon Snow and the Mage's Heir in 2001, the books have been translated into 53 languages, and, as of August 2011, have sold more than 380 million copies. Leslie has been criticized for the violence in the series, and for creating a hero who is sometimes selfish and bad-tempered. An exorcism scene in the fourth book, Simon Snow and the Selkies 4, triggered boycotts among American Christian groups in 2008. But the books are widely considered modern classics, and in 2010, Time magazine called Simon the greatest children's literary character since Huckleberry Finn. An eighth book, the last in the series, is set to be released May 1st, 2012. Publishing History. Simon Snow and the Mage's Heir, 2001. Simon Snow and the Second Serpent, 2003. Simon Snow and the Third Gate, 2004. Simon Snow and the Selkies 4, 2007. Simon Snow and the Five Blades, 2008. Simon Snow and the Six White Hares, 2009. Simon Snow and the Seventh Oak, 2010. Simon Snow and the Eighth Dance, scheduled to be released May 1st, 2012.
Chapter 1. There was a boy in her room. Kath looked up at the number painted on the door, then down at the room assignment in her hand. Pound Hall, 913. This was definitely room 913, but maybe it wasn't Pound Hall. All these dormitories looked alike, like public housing towers for the elderly. Maybe Kath should try to catch her dad before he brought up the rest of her boxes. "You must be Cather," the boy said, grinning and holding out his hand. "Kath," she said, feeling a panicky jump in her stomach. She ignored his hand. She was holding a box anyway. What did he expect from her? This was a mistake. This had to be a mistake. She knew that Pound was a co-ed dorm. Is there such a thing as co-ed rooms? The boy took the box out of her hands and set it on an empty bed. The bed on the other side of the room was already covered with clothes and boxes. "Do you have more stuff downstairs?" he asked. "We just finished. I think we're going to get a burger now. Do you want to get a burger? Have you been to Pears yet? Burgers the size of your fist." He picked up her arm. She swallowed. "Make a fist," he said. Kath did. "Bigger than your fist," the boy said, dropping her hand and picking up the backpack she'd left outside the door. "Do you have more boxes? You've got to have more boxes. Are you hungry?" He was tall and thin and tan, and he looked like he'd just taken off a stocking cap, dark blonde hair flopping in every direction. Kath looked down at her room assignment again. Was this Reagan? "Reagan," the boy said happily. "Look, your roommate's here." A girl stepped around Kath in the doorway and glanced back coolly. She had smooth auburn hair and an unlit cigarette in her mouth. The boy grabbed it and put it in his own mouth. "Reagan, Cather. Cather, Reagan," he said. "Kath," Kath said. Reagan nodded and fished in her purse for another cigarette. "I took this side," she said, nodding to the pile of boxes on the right side of the room. "But it doesn't matter. If you've got feng shui issues, feel free to move my shit." She turned to the boy. "Ready?" He turned to Kath. "Coming?" Kath shook her head. When the door shut behind them, she sat on the bare mattress that was apparently hers. Feng shui was the least of her issues, and laid her head against the cinder block wall. She just needed to settle her nerves, to take the anxiety she felt like black static behind her eyes and an extra heart in her throat, and shove it all back down to her stomach where it belonged, where she could at least tie it into a nice knot and work around it. Her dad and Ren would be up any minute, and Kath didn't want them to know she was about to melt down. If Kath melted down, her dad would melt down. And if either of them melted down, Ren would act like they were doing it on purpose, just to ruin her perfect first day on campus, her beautiful new adventure. "You're going to thank me for this," Ren kept saying. The first time she'd said it was back in June. Kath had already sent in her university housing forms, and of course she'd put Ren down as her roommate. She hadn't thought twice about it. The two of them had shared a room for 18 years. Why stop now? "We've shared a room for 18 years, Ren argued. She was sitting at the head of Kath's bed, wearing her infuriating "I'm the mature one" face. "And it's worked out great," Kath said, waving her arm around their bedroom, at the stacks of books and the Simon Snow posters, at the closet where they shoved all their clothes, not even worrying most of the time what belonged to whom. Kath was sitting at the foot of the bed, trying not to look like the pathetic one who always cries. "This is college," Ren persisted. "The whole point of college is meeting new people." "The whole point of having a twin sister," Kath said, "is not having to worry about this sort of thing. Freaky strangers who steal your tampons and smell like salad dressing and take cell phone photos of you while you sleep." Ren sighed. "What are you even talking about? Why would anybody smell like salad dressing?" "Like vinegar," Kath said. "Remember when we went on the freshman tour and that one girl's room smelled like Italian dressing?" "No." "Well, it was gross." "It's college," Ren said, exasperated, covering her face with her hands. "It's supposed to be an adventure." "It's already an adventure." Kath crawled up next to her sister and pulled Ren's hands away from her face. "The whole prospect is already terrifying." "We're supposed to meet new people," Ren repeated. "I don't need new people." "That just shows how much you need new people." Ren squeezed Kath's hands. "Kath, think about it. If we do this together, people will treat us like we're the same person. It'll be 4 years before anyone can even tell us apart. All they have to do is pay attention." Kath touched the scar on Ren's chin, just below her lip. Sledding accident. They were 9, and Ren was on the front of the sled when it hit the tree. Kath had fallen off the back into the snow. "You know I'm right," Ren said. Kath shook her head. "I don't." "Kath. Please don't make me do this alone." "You're never alone," Ren said, sighing again. "That's the whole fucking point of having a twin sister."
"This is really nice," their dad said, looking around pound 913 and setting a laundry basket full of shoes and books on Kath's mattress.
"It's not nice, Dad," Kath said, standing stiffly by the door. "It's like a hospital room, but smaller, and without a TV.
"You've got a great view of campus," he said.
Ren wandered over to the window. "My room faces a parking lot."
"How do you know?" Kath asked.
"Google Earth." Ren couldn't wait for all this college stuff to start. She and her roommate, Courtney, had been talking for weeks. Courtney was from Omaha, too. The two of them had already met and gone shopping for dorm room stuff together. Kath had tagged along and tried not to pout while they picked out posters and matching desk lamps. Kath's dad came back from the window and put an arm around her shoulders.
"It's going to be okay," he said.
She nodded. "I know."
"Okay," he said, clapping. "Next stop, Schramm Hall. Second stop, pizza buffet. Third stop, my sad and empty nest."
"No pizza," Ren said. "Sorry, Dad. Courtney and I are going to the freshman barbecue tonight." She shot her eyes at Kath. "Kath should go, too."
"Yes, pizza," Kath said defiantly.
Her dad smiled.
"Your sister's right, Kath. You should go. Meet new people."
"All I'm going to do for the next 9 months is meet new people. Today, I choose pizza buffet." Ren rolled her eyes.
"All right,"
their dad said, patting Kath on the shoulder.
"Next stop, Schramm Hall. Ladies?"
He opened the door. Kath didn't move. "You can come back for me after you drop her off," she said, watching her sister. "I want to start unpacking." Ren didn't argue, just stepped out into the hall. "I'll talk to you tomorrow," she said, not quite turning to look at Kath.
"Sure,"
Kath said. It did feel good, unpacking, putting sheets on the bed and setting her new, ridiculously expensive textbooks out on the shelves over her new desk. When her dad came back, they walked together to Valentino's. Everyone they saw along the way was about Kath's age. It was creepy.
"Why is everybody blonde?" Kath asked. "And why are they all white?"
Her dad laughed.
"You're just used to living in the least white neighborhood in Nebraska."
Their house in South Omaha was in a Mexican neighborhood. Kath's was the only white family on the block.
"Oh, God," she said. "Do you think this town has a taco truck?"
"I think I saw a Chipotle."
She groaned.
"Come on," he said. "You like Chipotle."
"Not the point." When they got to Valentino's, it was packed with students. A few, like Kath, had come with their parents, but not many.
"It's like a science fiction story," she said. "No little kids, nobody over 30. Where are all the old people?"
Her dad held up his slice of pizza.
"Soylent Green," Kath laughed. "I'm not old, you know."
He was tapping the table with the two middle fingers of his left hand.
41. The other guys my age at work are just starting to have kids.
"That was good thinking," Kath said. "Getting us out of the way early. You can start bringing home chicks now. The coast is clear."
"All my chicks," he said, looking down at his plate. "You guys are the only chicks I'm worried about."
"Ugh, Dad, weird."
"You know what I mean. What's up with you and your sister? You've never fought like this before."
"We're not fighting now," Kath said, taking a bite of bacon cheeseburger pizza.
"Oh, jeez," she spit it out. "What's wrong? Did you get an eyelid?"
"No, pickle. It's okay. I just wasn't expecting it."
"You seem like you're fighting," he said.
Kath shrugged. She and Ren weren't even talking much, let alone fighting. "Ren just wants more independence."
"Sounds reasonable," he said.
"Of course it does," Kath thought. "That's Ren's specialty." But she let it drop. She didn't want her dad to worry about this right now. She could tell by the way he kept tapping the table that he was already wearing thin. Way too many normal dad hours in a row. "Tired?" she asked. He smiled at her apologetically and put his hand in his lap.
"Big day. Big, hard day. I mean, I knew it would be."
He raised an eyebrow.
"Both of you. Same day. Whoosh. I still can't believe you're not coming home with me."
"Don't get too comfortable. I'm not sure I can stick this out a whole semester." She was only slightly kidding, and he knew it.
"You'll be fine, Kath."
He put his hand, his less twitchy hand over hers and squeezed. "And so will I, you know." Kath let herself look in his eyes for a moment. He looked tired and, yes, twitchy, but he was holding it together. "I still wish you'd get a dog," she said.
"I'd never remember to feed it."
"Maybe we could train it to feed you." When Kath got back to her roommate, Reagan, was still gone. Or maybe she was gone again. Her boxes looked untouched. Kath finished putting her own clothes away, then opened the box of personal things she'd brought from home. She took out a photo of herself and Wren and pinned it to the corkboard behind her desk. It was from graduation. Both of them were wearing red robes and smiling. It was before Wren cut her hair. Wren hadn't even told Kath she was going to do that. Just came home from work at the end of summer with a pixie cut. It looked awesome, which probably meant it would look awesome on Kath, too. But Kath could never get that haircut now. Even if she could work up the courage to cut off 15 inches, she couldn't single white female her own twin sister. Next, Kath took out a framed photo of their dad, the one that had always sat on their dresser back home. It was an especially handsome photo, taken on his wedding day. He was young and smiling and wearing a little sunflower on his lapel. Kath set it on the shelf above her desk. Then she set out a picture from prom of her and Abel. Kath was wearing a shimmering green dress, and Abel had a matching cummerbund. It was a good picture of Kath, even though her face looked naked and flat without her glasses. And it was a good picture of Abel, even though he looked bored. He always looked kind of bored. Kath probably should have texted Abel by now, just to tell him that she'd made it, but she wanted to wait until she felt more breezy and nonchalant. You can't take back texts. If you come off all moody and melancholy in a text, it just sits there in your phone, reminding you of what a drag you are. At the bottom of the box were Kath's Simon and Baz posters. She laid these out on her bed carefully. A few were originals, drawn or painted just for Kath. She'd have to choose her favorites. There wasn't room for them all on the corkboard, and Kath had already decided not to hang any on the walls, out where God and everybody would notice them. She picked out three. Simon raising the Sword of Mages, Baz lounging on a fanged black throne, the two of them walking together through whirling gold leaves, scarves whipping in the wind. There were a few more things left in the box, a dried corsage, a ribbon Wren had given her that said Clean Plate Club, commemorative busts of Simon and Baz that she'd ordered from the Noble Collection. Kath found a place for everything, then sat in the beat-up wooden desk chair. If she sat right here, with her back to Reagan's bare walls and boxes, it almost felt like home.
There was a boy in Simon's room. A boy with slick black hair and cold gray eyes. He was spinning around, holding a cat high in the air while a girl jumped and clutched at it. "Give it back," the girl said. "You'll hurt him." The boy laughed and held the cat higher, then noticed Simon standing in the doorway and stopped, his face sharpening. "Hello," the dark-haired boy said, letting the cat drop to the floor. It landed on all 4 feet and ran from the room. The girl ran after it. The boy ignored them, tugging his school jacket neatly into place and smiling with the left side of his mouth. "I know you. You're Simon Snow, the mage's heir." He held out his hand smugly. "I'm Tyrannus Basselton Pitch, but you can call me Baz. We're going to be roommates." Simon scowled and ignored the boy's pale hand. "What did you think you were doing with her cat?" From Chapter 5, Simon Snow and the Mage's Heir. Copyright 2001 by Gemma T. Leslie.
Chapter 2. In books, when people wake up in a strange place, they always have that disoriented moment when they don't know where they are. That never happened to Kath. She always remembered falling asleep. But it still felt weird to hear her same old alarm going off in this brand new place. The light in the room was strange, too yellow for morning, and the dorm air had a detergent-y twang she wasn't sure she'd get used to. Kath picked up her phone and turned off the alarm, remembering that she still hadn't texted Abel. She hadn't even checked her email or her fanfics account before she went to bed. "First day," she texted Abel now. "More later. XO, etc." The bed on the other side of the room was still empty. Kath could get used to this. Maybe Reagan would spend all her time in her boyfriend's room, or at his apartment. Her boyfriend looked older. He probably lived off campus with 20 other guys in some ramshackle house with a couch in the front yard. Even with the room to herself, Kath didn't feel safe changing in here. Reagan could walk in at any minute. Reagan's boyfriend could walk in at any minute. And either one of them could be a cell phone camera pervert. Kath took her clothes to the bathroom and changed in a stall. There was a girl at the sinks, desperately trying to make friendly eye contact. Kath pretended not to notice. She finished getting ready with plenty of time to eat breakfast, but didn't feel up to braving the dining hall. She still didn't know where it was or how it worked. In new situations, all the trickiest rules are the ones nobody bothers to explain to you, and the ones you can't Google. Like, where does the line start? What food can you take? Where are you supposed to stand? Then, where are you supposed to sit? Where do you go when you're done? Why is everyone watching you? Bah! Kath broke open a box of protein bars. She had 4 more boxes and 3 giant jars of peanut butter shoved under her bed. If she paced herself, she might not have to face the dining hall until October. She flipped open her laptop while she chewed on a carob oat bar and clicked through to her fanfics account. There were a bunch of new comments on her page, all people wringing their hands because Kath hadn't posted a new chapter of Carry On yesterday. "Hey, guys," she typed. "Sorry about yesterday. First day of school, family stuff, etc. Today might not happen either, but I promise you I'll be back in black on Tuesday and that I have something especially wicked planned. Peace out, Magic Kath." Walking to class, Kath couldn't shake the feeling that she was pretending to be a college student in a coming-of-age movie. The setting was perfect. Rolling green lawns, brick buildings, kids everywhere with backpacks. Kath shifted her bag uncomfortably on her back. "Look at me. I'm a stock photo of a college student." She made it to American History 10 minutes early, which still wasn't early enough to get a desk at the back of the class. Everybody in the room looked awkward and nervous, like they'd spent way too much time deciding what to wear. "Start as you mean to go on," Kath had thought when she laid out her clothes last night. Jeans, Simon t-shirt, green cardigan. The boy sitting in the desk next to her was wearing earbuds and self-consciously bobbing his head. The girl on Kath's other side kept flipping her hair from one shoulder to the other. Kath closed her eyes. She could feel their desks creaking. She could smell their deodorant. Just knowing they were there made her feel tight and cornered. If Kath had slightly less pride, she could have taken this class with her sister. She and Ren both needed the history credits. Maybe she should be taking classes with Ren while they still had a few in common. They weren't interested in any of the same subjects. Ren wanted to study marketing and maybe get a job in advertising, like their dad. Kath couldn't imagine having any sort of job or career. She'd majored in English, hoping that meant she could spend the next 4 years reading and writing, and maybe the next 4 years after that. Anyway, she'd already tested out of freshman comp, and when she met with her advisor in the spring, Kath convinced him she could handle Intro to Fiction Writing, a junior-level course. It was the only class, maybe the only thing about college, Kath was looking forward to. The professor who taught it was an actual novelist. Kath had read all three of her books about decline and desolation in rural America over the summer. "Why are you reading that?" Ren had asked when she noticed. "What?" "Something without a dragon or an elf on the cover." "I'm branching out."
"Shh," Ren said, covering the ears on the movie poster above her bed. "Baz will hear you."
"Baz is secure in our relationship," Kath had said, smiling despite herself. Thinking about Ren now made Kath reach for her phone. Ren had probably gone out last night. It had sounded like the whole campus was up partying. Kath felt under siege in her empty dorm room, shouting, laughing, music, all of it coming from every direction. Ren wouldn't have been able to resist the noise. Kath dug her phone out of her backpack. "You up?" "Send." A few seconds later, her phone chimed. "Isn't that my line?" "Too tired to write last night," Kath typed. "Went to bed at 10. Chime. "Neglecting your fans already," Kath smiled. "Always so jealous of my fans." "Have a good day."
"Yeah, you too."
A middle-aged Indian man in a reassuring tweed jacket walked into the lecture hall. Kath turned down her phone and slid it into her bag. When she got back to her dorm, she was starving. At this rate, her protein bars wouldn't last a week. There was a boy sitting outside her room, the same one, Reagan's boyfriend, Reagan's cigarette buddy.
"Cather," he said with a smile.
He started to stand up as soon as he saw her, which was more of a production than it should have been. His legs and arms were too long for his body.
"It's Kath," she said.
"Are you sure?" He ran a hand through his hair, like he was confirming that it was still messy. "Because I really like Cather."
"I'm sure," she said flatly. "I've had a lot of time to think about it."
He stood there, waiting for her to open the door.
"Is Reagan here?" Kath asked.
"If Reagan were here," he smiled, "I'd already be inside." Kath pinched her key but didn't open the door. She wasn't up for this. She was already overdosing on new and other today. Right now, she just wanted to curl up on her strange, squeaky bed and inhale three protein bars. She looked over the boy's shoulder.
"When is she getting here?"
He shrugged. Kath's stomach clenched.
"Well, I can't just let you in," she blurted.
"Why not?"
"I don't even know you."
"Are you kidding?" He laughed. "We met yesterday. I was in the room when you met me."
"Yeah, but I don't know you. I don't even know Reagan."
"Are you going to make her wait outside, too?"
"Look," Kath said, "I can't just let strange guys into my room. I don't even know your name. This whole situation is too rapey."
"Rapey?"
"You understand," she said, "right?"
He dropped an eyebrow and shook his head, still smiling. "Not really, but now I don't want to come in with you. The word rapey makes me uncomfortable."
"Me too," she said, gratefully.
He leaned against the wall and slid back onto the floor, looking up at her. Then he held up his hand. "I'm Levi, by the way." Kath frowned and took his hand lightly, still holding her keys.
"Okay," she said, then opened the door and closed it as quickly as possible behind her.
She grabbed her laptop and her protein bars and crawled into the corner of her bed. Kath was trying to pace her side of the room, but there wasn't enough floor. It already felt like a prison in here, especially now that Reagan's boyfriend, Levi, was standing guard, or sitting guard, whatever, out in the hall. Kath would feel better if she could just talk to somebody. She wondered if it was too soon to call Ren. She called her dad instead and left a voicemail. She texted Abel. "Hey, one down. What up?" She opened her sociology book, then opened her laptop, then got up to open a window. It was warm out. People were chasing each other with Nerf guns outside a fraternity house across the street. Pi Kappa weird-looking O. Kath pulled out her phone and dialed. "Hey," Ran answered. "How was your first day?"
"Fine. How was yours?"
"Good," Ren said.
Ren always managed to sound breezy and nonchalant.
"I mean, nerve-wracking, I guess. I went to the wrong building for statistics."
"That sucks."
The door opened, and Reagan and Levi walked in. Reagan gave Kath an odd look, but Levi just smiled.
"Yeah," Ren said. "It only made me a few minutes late, but I still felt so stupid.
Hey, Courtney and I are on our way to dinner. Can I call you back?
Or do you just want to meet us for lunch tomorrow?
I think we're going to start meeting at Selleck Hall at noon. Do you know where that is?"
"I'll find it," Kath said.
"Okay, cool. See you then."
"Cool," Kath said, pressing end and putting her phone in her pocket. Levi had already unfurled himself across Reagan's bed.
"Make yourself useful," Reagan said, throwing a crumpled-up sheet at him.
"Hey," she said to Kath.
"Hey," Kath said. She stood there for a minute, waiting for some sort of conversation to happen, but Reagan didn't seem interested. She was going through all her boxes, like she was looking for something.
"How was your first day?" Levi asked. It took a second for Kath to realize he was talking to her.
"Fine," she said.
"You're a freshman, right?"
He was making Reagan's bed. Kath wondered if he was planning to stay the night. That would not be on at all. He was still looking at her, smiling at her, so she nodded.
"Did you find all your classes?"
"Yeah."
"Are you meeting people?"
"Yeah," she thought.
"You people."
"Not intentionally," she said. She heard Reagan snort.
"Where are your pillowcases?" Levi asked the closet.
"Boxes," Reagan said. He started emptying a box, setting things on Reagan's desk as if he knew where they went. His head hung forward, like it was only loosely connected to his neck and shoulders, like he was one of those action figures that's held together inside by worn-out rubber bands. Levi looked a little wild. He and Reagan both did. People tend to pair off that way, Kath thought, in matched sets.
"So what are you studying?" he asked Kath.
"English," she said, then waited too long to say, "What are you studying?" He seemed delighted to be asked the question, or any question.
"Range management."
Kath didn't know what that meant, but she didn't want to ask.
"Please don't start talking about range management," Reagan groaned. "Let's just make that a rule for the rest of the year. No talking about range management in my room."
"It's Cather's room, too," Levi said.
"Kath," Reagan corrected him. "What about when you're not here?" he asked Reagan. "Can we talk about range management when you're not actually in the room?"
"When I'm not actually in the room," she said, "I think you're going to be waiting out in the hall." Kath smiled at the back of Reagan's head. Then she saw Levi watching her and stopped. Everyone in the classroom looked like this was what they'd been waiting for all week. It was like they were all waiting for a concert to start or a midnight movie premiere. When Professor Piper walked in a few minutes late, the first thing Kath noticed was that she was smaller than she looked in the photos on her book jackets. Maybe that was stupid. They were just headshots, after all. But Professor Piper really filled them up with her high cheekbones, her wide, watered-down blue eyes, and a spectacular head of long brown hair. In person, the professor's hair was just as spectacular, but streaked with gray and a little bushier than in the pictures. She was so small, she had to do a little hop to sit on top of her desk.
"So," she said instead of hello, "welcome to fiction writing. I recognize a few of you." She smiled around the room at people who weren't Kath. Kath was clearly the only freshman in the room. She was just starting to figure out what marked the freshman. The two new backpacks, makeup on the girls, jokey Hot Topic t-shirts on the boys. Everything on Kath,
from her new red Vans to the dark purple eyeglasses she'd picked out at Target. All the upperclassmen wore heavy black Ray-Ban frames, all the professors, too. If Kath got a pair of black Ray-Bans, she could probably order a gin and tonic around here without getting carded.
Well, Professor Piper said, I'm glad you're all here.
Her voice was warm and breathy. You could say she purred without reaching too far. And she talked just softly enough that everyone had to sit really still to hear her. We have a lot to do this semester, she said, so let's not waste another minute of it. Let's dive right in. She leaned forward on the desk, holding on to the lip. Are you ready? Will you dive with me? Most people nodded. Kath looked down at her notebook. Okay. Let's start with a question that doesn't really have an answer. Why do we write fiction? One of the older students, a guy, decided he was game.
To express ourselves, he offered.
Sure, Professor Piper said. Is that why you write? The guy nodded. Okay. Why else?
Because we like the sound of our own voices, a girl said. She had hair like Ren's, but maybe even cooler. She looked like Mia Farrow in Rosemary's Baby, wearing a pair of Ray-Bans.
Yes, Professor Piper laughed. It was a fairy laugh, Kath thought. That's why I write, definitely. That's why I teach. They all laughed with her. Why else?
Why do I write? Kath tried to come up with a profound answer, knowing she wouldn't speak up even if she did.
To explore new worlds, someone said.
To explore old ones, someone else said. Professor Piper was nodding.
To be somewhere else, Kath thought.
So, Professor Piper purred. Maybe to make sense of ourselves?
To set ourselves free, a girl said.
To get free of ourselves.
To show people what it's like inside our heads, said a boy in tight red jeans.
Assuming they want to know, Professor Piper added. Everyone laughed.
To make people laugh.
To get attention.
Because it's all we know how to do.
Speak for yourself, the professor said. I play the piano. But keep going. I love this. I love it.
To stop hearing the voices in our head, said the boy in front of Kath.
He had short, dark hair that came to a dusky point at the back of his neck.
To stop, Kath thought. To stop being anything or anywhere at all.
To leave our mark, Mia Farrow said.
To create something that will outlive us.
The boy in front of Kath spoke up again.
Asexual reproduction.
Kath imagined herself at her laptop. She tried to put into words how it felt, what happened when it was good, when it was working, when the words were coming out of her before she knew what they were, bubbling up from her chest, like rhyming, like rapping, like jump roping, she thought. Jumping just before the rope hits your ankles.
To share something true, another girl said, another pair of Ray-Bans.
Kath shook her head.
Why do we write fiction? Professor Piper asked.
Kath looked down at her notebook.
To disappear.
He was so focused and frustrated. He didn't even see the girl with the red hair sit down at his table. She had pigtails and old-fashioned pointy spectacles, the kind you'd wear to a fancy dress party if you were going as a witch. "You're going to tire yourself out," the girl said. "I'm just trying to do this right," Simon grunted, tapping the twopence coin again with his wand and furrowing his brow painfully. Nothing happened. "Here," she said, crisply waving her hand over the coin. She didn't have a wand, but she wore a large purple ring. There was yarn wound round it to keep it on her finger. Fly away home. With a shiver, the coin grew 6 legs and a thorax and started to scuttle away. The girl swept it gently off the desk into a jar.
How did you do that?
Simon asked. She was a first year too, just like him. He could tell by the green shield on the front of her sweater.
You don't do magic,
she said, trying to smile modestly and mostly succeeding.
You are magic.
Simon stared at the 2p ladybird.
I'm Penelope Bunce,
the girl said, holding out her hand.
I'm Simon Snow,
he said, taking it.
I know,
Penelope said, and smiled. From Chapter 8, Simon Snow and the Mage's Heir. Copyright 2001 by Gemma T. Leslie.
Chapter 3. It was impossible to write like this. First of all, their dorm room was way too small, a tiny little rectangle, just wide enough on each side of the door for their beds. When the door opened, it actually hit the end of Kath's mattress, and just deep enough to squeeze in a desk on each side between the beds and the windows. If either of them had brought a couch, it would take up all the available space in the middle of the room. Neither of them had brought a couch, or a TV, or any cute Target lamps. Reagan didn't seem to have brought anything personal, besides her clothes and a completely illegal toaster, and besides Levi, who was lying on her bed with his eyes closed, listening to music while Reagan banged at her computer, a crappy PC, just like Kath's. Kath was used to sharing a room. She'd always shared a room with Ren. But their room at home was almost 3 times as big as this one, and Ren didn't take up nearly as much space as Reagan did. Figurative space, head space. Ren didn't feel like company. Kath still wasn't sure what to make of Reagan. On the one hand, Reagan didn't seem interested in staying up all night, braiding each other's hair and becoming best friends forever. That was a relief. On the other hand, Reagan didn't seem interested in Kath at all. Actually, that was a bit of a relief, too. Reagan was scary. She did everything so forcefully. She swung their door open. She slammed it shut. She was bigger than Kath, a little taller and a lot more buxom. Seriously, buxom. She just seemed bigger. On the inside, too. When Reagan was in the room, Kath tried to stay out of her way. She tried not to make eye contact. Reagan pretended Kath wasn't there, so Kath pretended that, too. Normally, this seemed to work out for both of them. But right at the moment, pretending not to exist was making it really hard for Kath to write. She was working on a tricky scene, Simon and Baz arguing about whether vampires could ever truly be considered good, and also whether the two of them should go to the graduation ball together. It was all supposed to be very funny and romantic and thoughtful, which were usually Kath's specialties. She was pretty good with treachery, too, and talking dragons. But she couldn't get past. Simon swept his honey brown hair out of his eyes and sighed. She couldn't even get Baz to move. She couldn't stop thinking about Reagan and Levi sitting behind her. Her brain was stuck on intruder alert. Plus, she was starving. As soon as Reagan and Levi left the room for dinner, Kath was going to eat an entire jar of peanut butter. If they ever left for dinner. Reagan kept banging on like she was going to type right through the desk, and Levi kept not leaving, and Kath's stomach was starting to growl. She grabbed a protein bar and walked out of the room, thinking she'd just take a quick walk down the hall to clear her head. But the hallway was practically a meet and greet. Every door was propped open but theirs. Girls were milling around, talking and laughing. The whole floor smelled like burnt microwave popcorn. Kath slipped into the bathroom and sat in one of the stalls, unwrapping her protein bar and letting nervous tears dribble down her cheeks. God, she thought. God. Okay, this isn't that bad. There's actually nothing wrong, actually. What's wrong, Kath? Nothing. She felt tight everywhere, snapping, and her stomach was on fire. She took out her phone and wondered what Ren was doing, probably choreographing dance sequences to Lady Gaga songs, probably trying on her roommate's sweaters, probably not sitting on a toilet eating an almond flaxseed bar. Kath could call Abel, but she knew he was leaving for Missouri Tech tomorrow morning. His family was throwing him a huge party tonight with homemade tamales and his grandmother's coconut yo-yos, which were so special they didn't even sell them in the family bakery. Abel worked in the panaderia, and his family lived above it. His hair always smelled like cinnamon and yeast. Jesus, Kath was hungry. She pushed her protein bar wrapper into the feminine hygiene box and rinsed off her face before she went back to her room. Reagan and Levi were walking out, thank God. And finally. See ya, Reagan said. Rock on. Levi smiled. Kath felt like collapsing when the door closed behind them. She grabbed another protein bar, flopped onto the old wooden captain's chair. She was starting to like this chair, and opened a drawer to prop up her foot. Simon swept his honey brown hair out of his eyes and sighed. Just because I can't think of any heroic vampires doesn't mean they don't exist. Baz stopped trying to levitate his steamer trunk and gave Simon a flash of gleaming fang. Good guys wear white, Baz said. Have you ever tried to get blood out of a white cape? Selleck Hall was a dormitory right in the middle of campus. You could eat there, even if you didn't live there. Kath usually waited in the lobby for Ren and Courtney, so she wouldn't have to walk into the cafeteria alone. So what's your roommate like? Courtney asked as they moved through the salad bar line. She asked it like she and Kath were old friends, like Kath had any idea what Courtney was like, outside of her taste for cottage cheese with peaches. The salad bar at Selleck was completely whack. Cottage cheese with peaches, canned pears with shredded cheddar. What is up with this? Kath asked, lifting a scoop of cold kidney and green bean salad. Maybe it's another Western Nebraska thing, Ren said. There are guys in our dorm who wear cowboy hats, like all the time, even when they're just walking down the hall. I'm going to get a table, Courtney said. Hey, Kath watched Ren pile vegetables on her plate. Did we ever write any fic with Simon and Baz dancing? I don't remember, Ren said. Why? Are you writing a dance scene? Waltzing, up on the ramparts. Romantic. Ren looked around the room for Courtney. I'm worried that I'm making Simon too fluffy. Simon is fluffy. I wish you were reading it, Kath said, following her to the table. Isn't every ninth grader in North America already reading it? Ren sat down next to Courtney. And Japan, Kath said, sitting. I'm weirdly huge in Japan. Courtney leaned toward Kath, swooping in like she was in on some big secret. Kath, Ren told me that you write Simon Snow stories. That's so cool. I'm a huge Simon Snow fan. I read all the books when I was a kid. Kath unwrapped her sandwich skeptically. They're not over, she said. Courtney took a bite of her cottage cheese, not catching the correction. I mean, Kath said, the books aren't over. Book 8 doesn't come out until next year. Tell us about your roommate, Ren said, smiling flatly at Kath. There's nothing to tell. Then make something up. Ren was irritated, which irritated Kath. But then Kath thought about how glad she was to be eating food that required silverware and talking to someone who wasn't a stranger, and decided to make an effort with Ren's shiny new roommate. Her name is Reagan, and she has reddish-brown hair, and she smokes. Courtney wrinkled her nose. In your room? She hasn't really been in the room much. Ren looked suspicious. You haven't talked? We've said hello, Kath said. I've talked to her boyfriend a little. What's her boyfriend like? Ren asked. I don't know. Tall? Well, it's only been a few days.
I'm sure you'll get to know her.
Then Ren changed the subject to something that happened at some party she and Courtney had gone to. They'd only been living together 2 weeks, and already they had a slew of inside jokes that went right over Kath's head. Kath ate her turkey sandwich and 2 servings of French fries and shoved a 2nd sandwich into her bag when Ren wasn't paying attention. Reagan finally stayed in their room that night. Levi did not, thank God. She went to bed while Kath was still typing. "Is the light bothering you?" Kath asked, pointing at the lamp built into her desk. "I could turn it off."
"It's fine," Reagan said.
Kath put in earbuds so she wouldn't hear Reagan's falling asleep noises, breathing, sheets brushing, bed creaking. How can she just fall asleep like that with a stranger in the room? Kath wondered. Kath left the earbuds in when she finally crawled into her own bed and pulled the comforter up high over her head. "You still haven't talked to her?" Ren asked at lunch the next week.
"We talk," Kath said. "She says, 'Would you mind closing the window?' And I say, 'That's fine.' Also, 'Hey,' we exchange 'Hey's' daily, sometimes twice daily."
"It's getting weird," Ren said. Kath poked at her mashed potatoes.
"I'm getting used to it."
"It's still weird."
"Really?"
Kath asked. "You're really going to start talking about how I got stuck with a weird roommate?" Ren sighed. "What about her boyfriend?"
"Haven't seen him for a few days."
"What are you doing this weekend?"
"Homework, I guess. Writing Simon."
"Courtney and I are going to a party tonight."
"Where?"
"The Triangle House," Courtney said. She said it the same way you'd say the Playboy Mansion if you were a total D-bag.
"What's a Triangle House?" Kath asked.
"It's an engineering fraternity," Ren said.
"So they, like, get drunk and build bridges?"
"They get drunk and design bridges. Wanna come?"
"Nah." Kath took a bite of roast beef and potatoes. It was always Sunday night dinner in the Selleck dining room.
"Drunk nerds. Not my thing."
"You like nerds."
"Not nerds who join fraternities," Kath said. "That's a whole subclass of nerds that I'm not interested in."
"Did you make Abel sign a sobriety pledge before he left for Missouri?"
"Is Abel your boyfriend?" Courtney asked. "Is he cute?"
Kath ignored her.
"Abel isn't going to turn into a drunk. He can't even tolerate caffeine."
"That right there is some faulty logic."
"You know I don't like parties, Ren."
"And you know what Dad says. You have to try something before you can say you don't like it."
"Seriously? You're using Dad to get me to a frat party? I have tried parties. There was that one at Jesse's with the tequila."
"Did you try the tequila?"
"No, but you did, and I helped clean it up when you puked."
Ren smiled wistfully and smoothed her long bangs across her forehead.
"Drinking tequila is more about the journey than the destination."
"You'll call me," Kath said, "right?
If I puke?
If you need help."
"I won't need help."
"But you'll call me?"
"God, Kath, yes, relax, okay?"
"But sir," Simon pushed, "do I have to be his roommate every year? Every year until we leave Watford?"
The mage smiled indulgently and ruffled Simon's caramel brown hair.
"Being matched with your roommate is a sacred tradition at Watford." His voice was gentle but firm. "The crucible cast you together. You're to watch out for each other, to know each other as well as brothers."
"Yeah, but sir," Simon shuffled in his chair, "the crucible must have made a mistake. My roommate's a complete git. He might even be evil. Last week, someone spelled my laptop closed, and I know it was him. He practically cackled."
The mage gave his beard a few solemn strokes. It was short and pointed, and just covered his chin.
"The crucible cast you together, Simon. You're meant to watch out for him."
From Chapter 3, Simon Snow and the Second Serpent. Copyright 2003 by Gemma T. Leslie.
Chapter 4. The squirrels on campus were beyond domestic. They were practically domestically abusive. If you were eating anything at all, they'd come right up to you and chit-chit-chit in your space. "Take it," Kath said, tossing a chunk of strawberry soy bar to the fat red squirrel at her feet. She took a photo of it with her phone and sent it to Abel. "Bully squirrel," she typed. Abel had sent her photos of his room, his suite at MoTeC, and of him standing with all five of his nerdy Big Bang Theory roommates. Kath tried to imagine asking Reagan to pose for a photo and laughed a little out loud. The squirrel froze, but didn't run away. On Wednesdays and Fridays, Kath had 45 minutes between biology and fiction writing, and lately she'd been killing it right here, sitting in a shadowy patch of grass on the slow side of the English building. Nobody to deal with here. Nobody but the squirrels. She checked her text messages, even though her phone hadn't chimed. She and Abel hadn't actually talked since Kath left for school 3 weeks ago, but he did text her, and he emailed every once in a while. He said he was fine and that the competition at Missouri was already intense. Everybody here was the smartest kid in their graduating class. Kath had resisted the urge to reply, "Except for you, right?" Just because Abel got a perfect score on the math section of his SATs didn't mean he was the smartest kid in their class. He was crap in American history, and he'd limped through Spanish. Through Spanish, for Christ's sake. He'd already told Kath that he wasn't coming back to Omaha until Thanksgiving, and she hadn't tried to convince him to come home any sooner. She didn't really miss him yet. Wren would say that was because Abel wasn't really Kath's boyfriend. It was one of their recurring conversations. "He's a perfectly good boyfriend," Kath would say. "He's an end table," Wren would answer. "He's always there for me." "To set magazines on." "Would you rather I dated someone like Jesse so we can both stay up crying every weekend?" "I would rather you dated someone you'd actually like to kiss." "I've kissed Abel." "Oh, Kath, stop. You're making my brain throw up." "We've been dating for 3 years. He's my boyfriend." "You have stronger feelings for Baz and Simon." "Duh, they're Baz and Simon. Like, that's even fair." "I like Abel. He's steady." "You just keep describing an end table." Wren had started going out with boys in the 8th grade, 2 years before Kath was even thinking about it. And until Jesse Sandoz, Wren hadn't stayed with the same guy for more than a few months. She kept Jesse around so long because she was never really sure that he liked her. At least that was Kath's theory. Wren usually lost interest in a guy as soon as she'd won him over. The conversion was her favorite part. "That moment," she told Kath, "when you realize that a guy's looking at you differently, that you're taking up more space in his field of vision, that moment when you know he can't see past you anymore." Kath had liked that last line so much, she gave it to Baz a few weeks later. Wren was annoyed when she read it. Anyway, Jesse never really converted. He never had eyes only for Wren, not even after they had sex last fall. It threw off Wren's game. Kath was relieved when Jesse got a football scholarship to Iowa State. He didn't have the attention span for a long-distance relationship, and there were at least 10,000 fresh guys at the University of Nebraska for Wren to convert. Kath tossed another hunk of protein bar to the squirrel, but someone in a pair of periwinkle wingtips took a step too close to them, and the squirrel startled and lumbered away. Fat campus squirrels, Kath thought. They lumber. The wingtips took another step toward her, then stopped. Kath looked up. There was a guy standing in front of her. From where she was sitting, and where he was standing with the sun behind his head, he seemed 8 feet tall. She squinted up, but didn't recognize him. "Kath," he said. "Right?" She recognized his voice. It was the boy with the dark hair who sat in front of her in fiction writing, Nick. "Right," she said.
Did you finish your writing exercise?
Professor Piper had asked them to write 100 words from the perspective of an inanimate object. Kath nodded, still squinting up at him.
Oh, sorry, Nick said, stepping out of the sun and sitting on the grass next to her.
He dropped his bag between his knees.
So, what did you write about?
A lock, she said.
You? Ballpoint pen.
He grimaced.
I'm worried that everyone is going to do a pen.
Don't be, she said. A pen is a terrible idea. Nick laughed, and Kath looked down at the grass.
So, he asked, do you think she'll make us read them out loud?
Kath's head snapped up. No, why would she do that?
They always do that, he said, like it was something Kath should already know.
She wasn't used to seeing Nick from the front. He had a boyish face with hooded blue eyes and blocky black eyebrows that almost met in the middle. He looked like someone with a steerage ticket on the Titanic, somebody who'd be standing in line at Ellis Island, undiluted and old-blooded. Also cute.
But there wouldn't be time in class for all of us to read, she said.
We'll probably break up into groups first, he said, again like she should know this.
Oh, I'm kind of new around here.
Are you a freshman?
She nodded and rolled her eyes.
How did a freshman get into Professor Piper's 300-level class?
I asked. Nick raised his furry eyebrows and pushed out his bottom lip, impressed.
Do you really think a pen is a terrible idea?
I'm not sure what you want me to say now, Kath answered.
Do you have an eating disorder? Reagan asked.
Kath was sitting on her bed, studying. Reagan was holding on to her closet door, hopping, trying to pull on a black-heeled boot. She was probably on her way to work. Reagan was always on her way somewhere. She treated their room like a way station, a place she stopped between class and the library, between her job at the student union and her job at the Olive Garden, a place to change clothes, dump books, and pick up Levi. Sometimes there were other guys, too. Already in the last month, there'd been a Nathan and a Kyle, but none of them seemed to be a permanent part of Reagan's solar system, like Levi was. Which made Levi part of Kath's solar system, too. He'd seen her on campus today and walked with her all the way to Old Father Hall, talking about some mittens he'd bought outside the student union.
Hand-knit in Ecuador. Have you ever seen an alpaca, Cather? They're like the world's most adorable llamas. Like, imagine the cutest llama that you can, and just keep going. And their wool, it's not really wool, it's fiber, and it's hypoallergenic.
Reagan was staring at Kath now, frowning. She was wearing tight black jeans and a black top. Maybe she was going out, not to work.
Your trash can is full of energy bar wrappers, Reagan said.
You were looking through my trash? Kath felt a rush of anger.
Levi was looking for a place to spit out his gum. So, do you have an eating disorder?
No, Kath said, pretty sure it was exactly what she'd say if she did have an eating disorder.
Then why don't you eat real food?
I do. Kath clenched her fists. Her skin felt drawn and tight. Just not here.
Are you one of those freaky eaters?
No, I... Kath looked up at the ceiling, deciding that this was one of those times when the truth would be simpler than a lie. I don't know where the dining hall is.
You've been living here more than a month.
I know.
And you haven't found the dining hall?
I haven't actually looked.
Why haven't you asked someone? You could have asked me.
Kath rolled her eyes and looked at Reagan. Do you really want me asking you stupid questions?
If they're about food, water, air, or shelter, yes. Jesus, Kath, I'm your roommate.
Okay, Kath said, turning back to her book. So noted.
So do you want me to show you where the dining hall is?
No, that's okay.
You can't keep living off diet bars. You're running out.
I'm not running out. Reagan sighed.
Levi might have eaten a few. You're letting your boyfriend steal my protein bars? Kath leaned over her bed to check on her stash. All the boxes were open. He said he was doing you a favor, Reagan said, forcing the issue. And he's not my boyfriend, exactly. This is a violation, Kath said angrily, forgetting for a moment that Reagan was probably the most intimidating person she'd ever met. Get your shoes, Reagan said. I'm showing you where the dining hall is. No. Kath could already feel the anxiety starting to tear her stomach into nervous little pieces. It's not just that. I don't like new places, new situations. There'll be all those people, and I won't know where to sit. I don't want to go. Reagan sat at the end of her own bed, folding her arms. Have you been going to class? Of course. How? Class is different, Kath said. There's something to focus on. It's still bad, but it's tolerable. Are you on drugs? No. Maybe you should be. Kath pushed her fists into her bed. This isn't any of your business. You don't even know me. This, Reagan said. This is why I didn't want a freshman roommate. Why do you even care? Am I bothering you? We're going to dinner right now. No, we're not. Get your student ID. I'm not going to dinner with you. You don't even like me. I like you fine, Reagan said. This is ridiculous. Jesus Christ, aren't you hungry? Kath was squeezing her fists so hard her knuckles were going white. She thought about chicken fried steak and scalloped potatoes and strawberry rhubarb pie and wondered whether the Pound dining hall had an ice cream machine like Selleck did. And she thought about winning, about how she was letting this win, whatever this was, the crazy inside of her. Kath 0, crazy 1,000,000. She leaned over, compressing the knot in her stomach. Then she stood up with as much dignity as she could scavenge and put on her Vans. I have been eating real food, she muttered. I eat lunch at Selleck with my sister. Reagan opened the door. Then why don't you eat here? Because I waited too long. I built up a block about it. It's hard to explain. Seriously, why aren't you on drugs? Kath walked past her out of the room. Are you a licensed psychiatrist, or do you just play one on TV? I'm on drugs, Reagan said. They're a beautiful thing. There was no awkward moment in the dining hall. No standing at the doorway with a tray, trying to decide on the most innocuous place to sit. Reagan sat at the first half-empty table she came across. She didn't even nod to the other people sitting there. Aren't you going to be late for work? Kath asked. I'm going out, but I was going to eat dinner here first anyway. We pay for all these meals, may as well eat them. Kath's tray had a plate of baked macaroni and two bowls of Brussels sprouts. She was ravenous. Reagan took a big bite of pasta salad. Her long hair fell over her shoulders. It was a dozen shades of red and gold, none of them quite natural. Do you really think that I don't like you? She asked with her mouth full. Kath swallowed. She and Reagan had never had a conversation before today, never mind a serious one. I get the feeling that you don't want a roommate. I don't want a roommate, Reagan frowned. She frowned as much as Levi smiled, but that has nothing to do with you. Why live in the dorms then? You're not a freshman, right? I didn't think upperclassmen lived on campus. I have to, Reagan said. It's part of my scholarship. I was supposed to get my own room this year. I was on the list, but all the residence halls are over capacity. Sorry, Kath said. It's not your fault. I didn't want a roommate either, Kath said. I mean, I thought I was going to live with my sister. You have a sister who goes here? Twin. Ew. Weird. Why is that weird? Kath asked. It just is. It's creepy. Like having a doppelganger. Are you identical? Technically. Ew. Reagan shuddered melodramatically. It's not creepy, Kath said. What is wrong with you? Reagan grimaced and shuddered again.
So why aren't you living with your sister?
She wanted to meet new people, Kath said.
You make it sound like she broke up with you.
Kath speared another Brussels sprout. She lives in Shram, she said to her tray. When she looked up, Reagan was scowling at her.
You're making me feel sorry for you again, Reagan said.
Kath turned her fork on Reagan. Don't feel sorry for me. I don't want you to feel sorry for me.
I can't help it, Reagan said.
You're really pathetic.
I am not.
You are. You don't have any friends. Your sister dumped you. You're a freaky eater. And you've got some weird thing about Simon Snow.
I object to every single thing you just said.
Reagan chewed and frowned. She was wearing dark red lipstick.
I have lots of friends, Kath said.
I never see them.
I just got here. Most of my friends went to other schools, or they're online.
Internet friends don't count.
Why not?
Reagan shrugged disdainfully.
And I don't have a weird thing with Simon Snow, Kath said. I'm just really active in the fandom.
What the fuck is the fandom?
You wouldn't understand, Kath sighed, wishing she hadn't used that word, knowing that if she tried to explain herself any further, it would just make it worse. Reagan wouldn't believe or understand that Kath wasn't just a Simon fan. She was one of the fans, a first-name-only fan with fans of her own. If she told Reagan that her Simon fix regularly got 20,000 hits, Reagan would just laugh at her. Plus, saying all that out loud would make Kath feel like a complete asshole.
You've got Simon Snowheads on your desk, Reagan said.
Those are commemorative busts.
I feel sorry for you, and I'm going to be your friend.
I don't want to be your friend, Kath said as sternly as she could. I like that we're not friends.
Me too, Reagan said. I'm sorry you ruined it by being so pathetic.
Welcome to fanfics.net, where the story never ends. We are a volunteer-run archive and forum, accepting quality fiction from all fandoms. Volunteer or make a donation here. Set up a fanfics.net author profile here. You must be 13 years old or older to submit or comment at fanfics.net. Fanfics.net homepage welcome message. Retrieved July 1st. 2011.
Chapter 5. Please don't make me sit in the hall, Levi said. Kath stepped over his legs to get to her door.
I have to study.
Reagan's running late, and I've already been sitting here half an hour.
His voice dropped to a whisper. Your neighbor with the pink Ugg boots keeps coming out to talk to me. Have mercy.
Kath frowned at him.
I won't bother you, he said. I'll just wait quietly for Reagan.
She rolled her eyes and walked in, leaving the door open behind her.
I can see why you and Reagan hit it off.
He got up to follow her.
You can both be extremely brusque sometimes.
We didn't hit it off.
That's not what I heard.
Hey, now that you're eating in the dining hall, can I eat your protein bars?
You were already eating my protein bars, Kath said indignantly, sitting at her desk and opening her laptop. I felt bad about doing it behind your back.
Good.
But aren't you happier now?
He sat at the end of her bed and leaned against the wall, crossing his long legs at the ankles.
You look better nourished already.
Thank you.
So?
What? He grinned.
Can I have a protein bar?
You're unbelievable. Levi leaned over and reached under the bed.
The blueberry bliss are my favorite.
Kath actually was happier now. Not that she was going to admit that to Levi. So far, being Reagan's charity case didn't require much. just going down to the dining hall together and helping Reagan ridicule everyone who walked by their table. Reagan liked to sit next to the kitchen door, right where the buffet line dumped into the dining room. She called it parade seating, and no one was spared. "Look," she'd said last night, "it's Gimpy. How do you think he broke his leg?" Kath looked up at the guy, a dangerously hip-looking character with shaggy hair and oversized glasses. "Probably tripped over his beard." "Ha," Reagan said. "His girlfriend is carrying his tray. Just look at her. That is one shiny unicorn. Do you think they actually met in an American Apparel ad?" "I'm pretty sure they met in New York City, but it took them 5 years to get here." "Oh, Wolf Girl at 3 o'clock, Reagan said excitedly. "Is she wearing her clip-on tail?"
"I don't know. Wait for it."
"No."
"Damn.
I kind of like her tail." Kath smiled fondly at the chubby girl with dyed black hair.
"If God put me into your life to keep you from wearing a fucking tail," Reagan said, "I accept the assignment."
As far as Reagan was concerned, Kath was already problematically weird. "It's bad enough that you have homemade Simon Snow posters," Reagan had said last night while she was getting ready for bed. "Do you have to have gay homemade Simon Snow posters?" Kath had looked up at the drawing over her desk of Simon and Baz holding hands. "Leave them alone," she said. "They're in love."
"Pretty sure I don't remember that from the books."
"When I write them," Kath said, "they're in love."
"What do you mean when you write them?"
Reagan stopped, pulling her t-shirt down over her head.
"No, you know what? Never mind. I don't want to know. It's already hard enough to make eye contact with you."
Levi was right. They must be hitting it off. Because now when Reagan said stuff like that, it made Kath want to laugh. If Reagan missed dinner, Kath would go down to the dining hall anyway and sit at their table. Then when Reagan came back to the room later, if Reagan came back to the room later, Kath would tell her everything she'd missed.
"Soccer sandals finally talked to Venezuelan Lindsay Lohan," Kath would say.
"Thank God," Reagan would answer, flopping down onto her bed. "The sexual tension was killing me." Kath wasn't sure where Reagan went on the nights when she didn't come back to the dorms. Maybe to Levi's. Kath looked over at Levi now. Still sitting on Kath's bed, eating what must be his second blueberry bliss bar. He was wearing black jeans and a black t-shirt. Maybe Levi worked at the Olive Garden, too.
"Are you a waiter?" she asked.
"Presently, no."
"Do you work at the Lancome counter?"
He laughed.
"What?"
"I'm trying to figure out why you wear all black sometimes."
"Maybe I'm really gothy and dark," he smiled, "but only on certain days."
Kath couldn't imagine Levi ever being gothy and dark. He had the smilingest face she'd ever seen. He smiled all the way from his chin to his receding hairline. His forehead wrinkled up, his eyes twinkled. Even his ears got into the action. They twitched like a dog's.
"Or maybe I work at Starbucks," he said.
She snorted. "Really?"
"Really," he said, still smiling. "Someday you'll need health insurance, and you won't think working at Starbucks is funny."
Levi and Reagan were always doing that to Kath, reminding her how young and naive she was. Reagan was only 2 years older than Kath. She wasn't even old enough to drink yet, not legally. Not that it mattered on campus. There was booze everywhere. Ren already had a fake ID. "You can borrow it," she'd told Kath. "Say you got hair extensions." Kath wondered how old Levi was. He looked old enough to drink, but maybe that was just his hair. It's not that Levi was bald, or anywhere near bald, yet. But his hairline came to a peak on his forehead, then retreated dramatically above his temples. And instead of letting his hair hang down or forward to minimize it, or instead of giving up and wearing it really short, like most guys would, Levi swept it straight up and back in a sloppy blonde wave. And he was always messing with it, drawing even more attention to his wide, lined forehead. He was doing it now.
"What are you working on?"
he asked, pushing his fingers through his hair and scrubbing at the back of his head.
"Studying in silence," she said.
Kath had only posted one chapter of Carry On, Simon this week, and it was half as long as usual. She usually posted something to her fanfics page every night, if not a full chapter, at least a blog entry. The comments on her page all week had been friendly. "How are you? Just checking in. Can't wait for the next post. Gah, I need my daily baths." But to Kath, they felt like demands. She used to read and respond to every comment on her stories. Comments were like gold stars, like May Day bouquets. But ever since Carry On Simon took off last year, it had gotten too big for Kath to manage. She went from getting around 500 hits per chapter to 5,000, regularly. Then one of the heavies on the biggest fan site, Fixation, called Carry On the 8th-year fic, and Kath's fanfics page got 35,000 hits in one day. She still tried to keep up with comments and questions as much as she could, but it wasn't the same anymore. She wasn't just writing for Ren and the friends they'd made in the old Snowflakes forums. It wasn't just a bunch of girls trading birthday fics and cheer-up fics and cracked-out, I-wrote-this-to-make-you-laugh stories. Kath had an audience now, a following. All these people she didn't know, who expected things from her and questioned her decisions. Sometimes they even turned against her. They'd trash her on other fan sites, saying that Kath used to be good but she'd lost the magic, that her baz was too canon or not canon enough, that her Simon was a prude, that she overwrote Penelope. "You don't owe them anything," Ren would say, crawling onto Kath's bed at 3 a.m. and pulling Kath's laptop away. "Go to sleep."
"I will. I want to finish this scene. I think Baz is finally going to tell Simon he loves him."
"He'll still love him tomorrow. It's a big chapter." "It's always a big chapter."
"It's different this time." Kath had been saying this for the last year. "It's the end."
Ren was right. Kath had written this story, Baz and Simon in love, dozens of times before. She'd written this scene, this line, "Snow, Simon, I love you," 50 different ways. But Carry On was different. It was the longest fic she'd written so far. It was already longer than any of Gemma T. Leslie's books, and Kath was only 2/3 of the way through. Carry On was written as if it were the 8th Simon Snow book, as if it were Kath's job to wrap up all the loose ends, to make sure that Simon ascended to mage, to redeem Baz, something GTL would never do, to make both boys forget about Agatha, to write all the goodbye scenes and graduation scenes and last-minute revelations, and to stage the final battle between Simon and the insidious Humdrum. Everyone in fandom was writing 8th-year fics right now. Everyone wanted to take a crack at the big ending before the last Simon Snow book was released in May. But for thousands of people, Carry On was already it. People were always telling Kath that they couldn't look at canon the same way after reading her stuff. Why does Gemma hate Baz? Someone even started selling t-shirts on Etsy that said, "Keep calm and carry on," with a photo of Baz and Simon glaring at each other. Ren bought Kath one for her 18th birthday. Kath tried not to let it all go to her head. "These characters belong to Gemma T. Leslie," she wrote at the beginning of every new chapter. "You belong to Gemma," she'd say to the Baz poster over her bed at home. "I'm just borrowing you."
"You didn't borrow Baz," Ren would say. "You kidnapped him and raised him as your own."
If Kath stayed up too late writing too many nights in a row, if she was obsessing over the comments or the criticism, Ren would climb into Kath's bed and steal her laptop, holding it like a teddy bear while she slept. On nights like that, Kath could always go downstairs and keep writing on her dad's computer if she really wanted to, but she didn't like to cross Ren. They listened to each other when they wouldn't listen to anyone else. "Hey, guys." Kath started typing now into her fanfic journal. She wished Ren were here to read this before she posted it. "So I guess it's time for me to admit that college is hard. College is hard, or at least time-consuming, and I'm probably not going to be updating Carry On as much as I used to, as much as I'd like to. But I'm not disappearing, I promise, and I'm not giving it up. I already know how this all ends, and I'm not going to rest till I get there." Nick turned around in his desk as soon as class was dismissed.
"You'll be my partner, right?"
"Right," Kath said, noticing a girl in the